What a win yesterday for the Matildas, who've now progressed to the next round of the World Cup. How wonderful was it to see those incredible athletes on the world's best? And Sam Kerr.
And not just like being incredible, being world record breaking. That's an achievement that in
with
and of itself is remarkable.
We learnt yesterday that four goals
that's right.
is a haul.
Mm-hmm. Three is a hat trick, four is a haul, H-A-U-L.
Do you remember what two was?
Oh, duo?
No, it's something else. I have no memory of it either. But guess what? Mm-hmm. If the Matildas make it all the way through and they win the World Cup, let's imagine that. Let's everybody visualize it. It's very powerful.
Yes.
They will be paid half the amount that the men's team were paid for exiting in the first round of the World Cup without winning a game.
So, wait, the Socceroos were given, that means, $8 million just for turning up at the World Cup, which they did not make it past, like you said, the first round.
They didn't win a game.
The Matildas, however, despite now being record-breaking and all of that, will not get anywhere near that?
No, not at all. And even if they go right through and win, they will win half that amount, $4 million. So, you know, you're probably thinking, as we always hear then, well, you know, the men's game probably attracts more revenue.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd actually be wrong as to that being the reason why there is disparity in that amount of money. That's not the reason. So why? John Didjelitsa joins us. He's the Professional Footballer Association. He's the chief executive. Good morning to you.
Morning, guys. I love you both.
Oh,
thank you very much.
Given the SMSs are down, I'll continue the narrative.
I just took it for real then, and I was like so involved in you telling us that you loved us. John, we're into some serious matters though, because as we just said, there's a huge disparity with the prize money, and suggesting there, oh, you know, well, this is because men attract more revenue. It's not the reason. Why is it the reason?
Yeah, I think certainly there's an element of that. I think any sort of revenue share is always anchored in how much of the economics different sporting events drive. But the reality with the Women's World Cup, it's a very opaque process for how the prize money has been allocated. And in essence, an arbitrary figure of $30 million has been allocated to all of the competing teams as compared with $400 million to the men's game. And that's not to any specific revenue share or any sort of revenue generation. It's this opaque political process that FIFA drives to determine what each competing team will receive. So from our perspective, we really think that FIFA's got a once-in-a-generation opportunity to, you know, elevate women's football, elevate the role of women within football, and we think enhancing the prize money on offer can help achieve that.
The thing that you mentioned over here, that entire decision is opaque. And the fact that we don't know why they actually allocate, what did you say, $400 million for the men's teams and
30
for the women's teams. That's fairly surprising. You'd think an organization that performs on a global scale like FIFA would have these kind of metrics nailed down and justified and beyond scrutiny.
Yeah, indeed, and that's certainly a big part of the campaign that we're running around elevating the amount of prize money on offer, is to actually start a more transparent process around how these sorts of investments are made. I think particularly in women's sport, there's been generations of underinvestment, so we actually think there's quite a compelling case that goes beyond merely the economics of it to drive a lot more incentives into countries to invest into women's football, to reward the players, to make sure that, you know, the average retirement age of a female footballer is about 24, for a male footballer is about 28. So we really need, if we're serious about elevating the role of football across the world and catching up with tennis and golf and other sports like surfing, who are doing really well in that space, it's incumbent on FIFA to actually see this as an incredible opportunity to invest in the sport.
And we've spoken about this a little bit, but probably not enough. Arda Hegerberg of Norway has been sitting out of this World Cup. She's arguably one of the best players in the world because of the inequity in football and the gender inequity, pay and obviously prize money. How much has that resonated, do you think, throughout this campaign to draw attention to this issue?
I think Ada stepping out has been a real lightning rod for a lot of this discussion. Yeah, it would be the equivalent of a Leo Messi or a Cristiano Ronaldo refusing to play in the male equivalent tournament. I think that would be unthinkable for most football fans. And Ada is the reigning World Footballer of the Year. She scored a hat-trick in the European Champions League final last month. So she's head and shoulders above most players, yet she's absent from the tournament because of this ongoing inequity, as you refer to it, across women's football. Whilst there's some great steps being made, we think there's a huge responsibility on FIFA's shoulders to step in and start fast-tracking that improvement. And a great way to start that is through, you know, almost a surge of investment through the World Cup.
And that investment, by the way, isn't something that will necessarily come from any achievement, any prize money. For example, in Australia, as per their own collective bargaining agreement, the Matildas take a 30% cut of any prize money earned. The rest goes to the member federation. FIFA itself, the two top executives are paid more than the winning team of the 2019 Women's World Cup will be paid. How do you change this? Do we just literally have to boycott the entire game and all the teams have to boycott before anything happens? Or is FIFA completely resistant to any kind of feedback?
Well, I think there's always, you know, two methods to have this conversation. One's to do it through the political process or diplomatic process. I think what we've seen in recent years is that's a very slow process, and with FIFA that can be problematic, as we've seen, given, you know, the recent UEFA chair Michelle Platini is currently in custody for awarding the World Cup Qatar or playing a role within that. So how much trust you can necessarily put into the political process within FIFA can be challenging. It's getting better, but it's still something that people need to get their heads around. And the second point is legal. I think FIFA's own statutes require them to observe or certainly not engage in any sort of gender discrimination. And what we're seeing through the awarding of World Cup prize money is a very clear manifestation of inequality. Notwithstanding the prize money, and that's a complex economic and investment argument, but the mere fact that the men's team receives a $2 million grant for preparing for the World Cup compared with the women's team who gets $1 million. Yet they have the same number of players, they can have the same number of support staff, they need to jump on the same aeroplanes, they need to take the same buses, yet for some reason they're only worth half as much as the men's preparation.
It makes my blood boil to hear it, John Ditchell. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, though. It's a conversation that we need to continue to have to ensure that people will sit up and listen. Mm-hmm. John Ditchell joining us, Professional Footballers Association Chief Executive there, just outline exactly how much the Matildas are not getting when it comes to prize money and to pay equity as well.